Peter said, "You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus said basically to him, "You're absolutely correct, and the only way you know that is that the Father has told you who I am." So no one knows who Christ is unless the Holy Spirit of God shows them who he is. God has to reveal himself to man. The Bible says that man is dead in trespasses and sins. And the only way we're going to come alive is God speak to us and say, "Rise in the name of Jesus." And so that issue was settled. And then the second question is, that's also extremely important, who are you? Who are you? Where'd you come from? Why are you here? Where are you going? Extremely important. If you don't understand that, you're going to be driven by the wind in this direction and that direction. But if you understand who you are in Christ, then you'll begin to understand why you're here and what you are to do. We have a new president-elect. We need to pray for him. We need to pray for his cabinet. We need to pray for this country. And the main thing we need to pray about is who we are and what are we supposed to be doing in these days, because I think, as Peter said, time is short. Jesus is coming again. We need to be preparing. We need to be ready. And so we need to know who we are in Christ. Last time I told the story about the little girl who was in an orphanage that had one dress to her name and an old rugged pair of shoes. And a king and a queen adopted her into their family. And it took her the longest time to find out what she had in her new life. Every night she would wash that little dress in the palace. She had hundreds of brand new dresses and new shoes and new clothes. But every night in the palace, she'd still wash that little ragged dress and the next morning put it back on. And finally, the king and queen took her to the closet and took out one of those beautiful new gowns and put on her, and she suddenly realized her new life. Somebody had to take her to show her what a new life was like. The Holy Spirit has to show you who you are in Christ. You don't have the ability to know that yourself. The Holy Spirit has to reveal the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has to show you who you are now and what is going to go on in the future and what you are to do in this life. In other words, the Holy Spirit has to open the door and say, "Look in the closet. Are you listening to me? Look at all these things I have provided. These are provided to glorify me in you." Paul constantly said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And we talk about who you are in Jesus Christ. This is very important to know who you are in Jesus. So we're going to look at some of those things this morning. Let's look first in Romans 8 and verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. And we're going to start looking at Scripture, so I hope you have your Bible. Underline these things. Make notes. And get this into your heart. The way you get the Word of God in your heart is by faith. You receive it by faith into your heart. And that's what has to be done. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Sometimes it says we have to have a little suffering to cry out to God to find out who we are. We have to find out who our Father is. The Bible said there's two of them. One father's the devil, and the other father is the Father in heaven. That's what we either belong to one father or the other father. Do I hear an amen? Now, you have to know who you belong to. There's no in-between. There's no gray area. It's one or the other. Now, Jesus said, I adopted you out of the father devil's family, and I put you in to my family, hallelujah, and you're no longer in that old family. So you're going to have to look in that new closet and see what you have. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right, now that's what we're going to do this morning, because we have to start speaking this. We have to start asking God to bring this thing out of our spirit into our soul, you see. We have it all in our spirit. The spirit is the closet of God. Are you listening to me? We got a brand new closet. We got all brand new things in there. And by faith, by believing what God says, you believe it, you receive it, and you speak it out of your mouth, and then you do it. Are you listening to me? It's a process. A lot of people know some things, but they aren't doing anything because they really don't believe what they know, you see. Just like a lot of people believe Jesus Christ exists, but they're lost. And they're not going to heaven. They may be going to church, but they're not going to heaven. Do I hear an amen? Now, that's the issue. And we want people to be in the Heavenly Father's camp, in His house, and to look in their closet. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to look in the closet today. And because we've been adopted into the family of God. Everybody's been adopted if you're a child of God. You were not in it, now you are in it. You're adopted into. You're taken out of darkness, you're put into light. So we ought to be children of the light. Whatever we're doing, whatever our occupation is, whatever the relationships are, we should be children of the light. If you're in the hospital like Wayne most of the time now, you should be a child of the light. And you're going to see people respond. Do I hear an amen? You see. All right. Now, that's an amazing thing. Only thing you can say what happened to that young lady, her name was Sarah, incidentally. A Bible name. And I don't know if she had a Bible or not. We gave her one. And hopefully we're going to see her in church here one of these days. But you see, God had to do a work there in that hospital room. The light of God had to be in there. If Wayne hadn't been sensitive to the Spirit of God in that room, that lady never got saved, you see. And so we have to be open to what God wants to do in the situation that we're in. We've been adopted into a family of God. We have a new identity in Jesus Christ. We're not in the old anymore. We're not driving down the road looking in the rearview mirror. You see, you're going to have an accident if you do that. You got to know who you are in Christ. That's the issue. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Let's look first, 2 Corinthians 5:17. There's a lot of scriptures on this, but we'll just look at a few of them this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The first issue is, do you know the Lord? Have you given your life to Him? Have you surrendered yourself to Christ? I believe there's people that have received Christ as Savior and haven't surrendered their life to Him. And so they tell a good story, but they don't show a good story. You see, there's a difference. And we want to show and tell here in the name of Jesus, you see. And that's the issue. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And that says, therefore, if any man, means woman also, be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, obviously, he's talking about there the spirit. Our spirit's totally new. Our spirit belongs to God. And if our spirit belongs to God, you're going to go to heaven. But that's just part of the story. If God wanted that to be the whole story, he'd take you right now. But he leaves you here so that what you have in your spirit in the closet of your life will come out into your life, into your soul, into your mind, into your will, into your emotions, and out through your body. And that's what God wants to do. You have the closet full. You got to get it out of there by faith and start speaking it and walking it out in life. That's what we're talking about. Because God said you're a total new creation in your spirit, new ownership. Hallelujah. We now belong to God. We are His. We're no longer a child of the world, the flesh, or the devil. Hopefully not the flesh. But anyway, said, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. There's the walking it out right there. He's given us all a ministry. It doesn't make any difference where you're at, where you work, who you know, or any of those things. You have a ministry. One thing you have a ministry to is your family. If somebody's sick, call them up. Say, put your hand on whatever's sick and command that thing to go in the name of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You see? That's doing what we are. You see? And so, somebody always says, well, you know, I know the Lord, but I just don't tell anybody. Well, that's not what the Word of God says, you see. And there's times, you just know, if you're in the Word of God and you're in prayer and you're around people, you are going to know the time when you are to share Jesus Christ.
Right.
You're going to know it. Wayne knew it in that room. It was God working through him and touching that lady. It was a ministry of reconciliation. That's what we all have, regardless of where you're at. And then it says, it goes on, verse 20, here talks about the same thing. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're representing the Lord wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, and so forth. We're ambassadors of Christ through God, and so on. Now look in verse 21. This is a verse that you ought to have on the refrigerator, the bathroom mirror, and anything else you'd want to put it on. Make a bumper sticker, I suppose. For he has made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Now right there it tells you one of the things that's in the closet. The righteousness of God, the righteousness of the Lord. If you're a Christian, you're righteous in your spirit. You are righteous. It's not you're going to be righteous. You are righteous. But the point is, we want to get that out into our life again. We want to get everything in the closet out into the rooms of our life. Let's put it that way. Don't leave it in the closet. Get it out where it can be seen. And you can, with confidence, right this minute, say, I am the righteousness of Christ. Let's say that. I am the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Try it again. I am the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I know Him, Him as my personal Savior. Now, so part of you is righteous. God wants to work it into the rest of it. That's what the Christian life is working what's in the closet out into the rooms of your life and sharing that with other people. That's the Christian life. It is not just coming to church and enjoying all of that and then going out and live like you're lost or live like you're dead or something. That's not the way it is. It's to get it out and into the rest of your life. So it says, he made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So there's a part of us that's righteous, and God's working on the rest of it as we allow him to rearrange the furniture in the house of your life. That's what I'm talking about. Don't leave it in the closet, which some people do. Somebody said, well, you know, I just don't feel worthy. Well, how much worthy more do you have to be than the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in your spirit? Amen. You know, the Bible says, just stay cleaned up. Just stay cleaned up. The righteousness will come into your life. If you stay cleaned up, you keep the house clean. You know, some people keep the house clean, some don't. I've been in houses where you had to walk through a little path to get through every room because there was so much stuff. In fact, I'll tell you a story really interesting to me. I talked to a woman that was brilliant mentally. She wrote articles for major magazines in this country, and you could not hardly get through the room of her house. There's a little pathway just through every room. I was in another house one time. Yeah, I just barely got in the front door. They said they needed food, so we were taking some food to them. And we brought this food into the kitchen. There was no place to put it. Every table was stacked high with dishes, pots, and pans, dirty. The counters were all stacked high as they could possibly be. On top, the refrigerator was dirty items. There was no place to put the food. We had to go back into the living room where they did, believe this or not, make a nice little area to sit around the television set. And we had to set the food in there. And the guy says he was a deacon in one of the churches here in Rockford. I won't tell you which one. What's wrong with this picture? You see? Well, the issue said, keep my house clean. What about yourself? Does God has to tiptoe through the all these things in your life so that he can't even sit down, find a chair to sit down? Are you listening to me? You see, we're supposed to keep it clean so he can be comfortable in every part of the house of our life. That's the issue. And so that's what this is all about. Who you are in Christ, you want into your life so people know who you are. You know, people have opinions. We're not interested in everybody's opinion. We're interested in Christ's opinion. But we want to bless other people. We're an ambassador, you see. You're an ambassador of God. You say, well, it'd be quite a thing to be an ambassador of the United States. How about being an ambassador of Jesus Christ? Is that far better? I'd think so. Amen. And that's all you got to do is keep clean. It's not complicated. It's confess your sin before the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then stop it. Throw it out of the house. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about practical Christianity here. I mean, if we aren't going to live it, we might as well go home and watch who knows on what on somebody's TV.
That's right.
We're here to live it in everything that we do in life. You got an aunt that's sick and you don't like her? Who cares? Call her up. Tell her to put her hand on whatever and command that illness to go in the name of Jesus. Don't you think the relationship will change? Absolutely. That's what we're here to do. Somebody says, well, that pastor's supposed to do that.
Get on it, brother.
Lord's liable to let the pastor get sick, so you have to do it. So get out and do it. I don't want to be sick. You got the idea. So, listen, I did this stuff before I pastored a church. I was in a church that didn't even hardly believe in the Holy Spirit. And I knew that you were supposed to pray for the sick and do that stuff. I didn't do it like I do it now. I didn't know that much. I knew enough to be dangerous. But people got saved and some people got healed and that kind of thing. That was before I became a pastor. And they didn't even teach it in the church I was in. I saw the church that's called the Word of God. And that's what Jesus did. Are you listening to me? Jesus said this thing isn't complicated. Just follow me. And you follow him through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get an idea of what you're supposed to be doing in life. Somebody said he did it because he was the Son of God. No, he didn't. He did it as man. He had to be baptized with the Holy Spirit when he was baptized in water, just like everybody else. Do I hear an amen? Because he showed us what man could do that was filled with God. You see. And if you clean your house out and let God fill it up, you're going to see the things of God take place in your life. It's not complicated, you see. And I was going to mention this Wednesday night, but let's see. What was those three things, Grace, that we were talking about? I got to have my wife help me here.
To break the curse over your life.
Yes.
You repent.
Yes.
Rebuke,
right.
And you replace.
Okay. See, these things are very simple. You repent, you turn from whatever that is, you rebuke that thing out of your life, and then you replace it with the things of God. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Repent, rebuke, replace. That's what we're supposed to do. You got some things in there that shouldn't be in your house. Repent of those things. Rebuke those things and get them out of there and then fill it with the things of God. Anybody here can do that.
Yes.
You see, that's very simple. Anybody here can do that. That's what the Word of God says. Well, you know, he took our sin and gave us his life. Don't you think that would make a difference?
Right.
I don't know how anybody gets saved could live like they did before. If they did, something's wrong. Something's not working. Something's not happening. Maybe you don't have the reality of it. You might have it in your head, but not in your heart. You see, there's a difference. Too many people in churches got it in their head, they don't have it in their heart. They got the big head. Big head. Yeah, they got a whole lot of knowledge up here, and they haven't got hardly anything in their heart. That's the issue. Now, you know, there's hope. We've got notebooks and all that stuff. And, you know, what you usually do with them, file them away someplace. You usually don't look at them again. Isn't that right? You don't do that? But it's good to write it down because you remember it. That's the purpose of the notebooks. But the information, all that information is not going to do any good if it isn't living out through you. You know, we got a bunch of professional Christian students that don't use what they learned.
That was for the apostles.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And that's the issue. Yes, sir. Yes.
But one day the Lord touched him.
Yes.
And guess what?
What?
The whole box went out of there, and the preaching was new and interesting.
Yeah.
And the church grew up to be about 500 times, and I'm not kidding you, at least 500 times bigger than it was.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit came.
Yeah. I had a preacher tell me one time. He said he was about ready to retire, and he said, "I tell you what you do. I tell you how do you supposed to do this?" He said, "You get 100 messages, and you preach that 100 messages, and then you go to another church, and you preach that 100 messages, and then you go to another church, and you preach that 100 messages." And I said, "Well, where are they?" And he had them on a Rolodex. He had them there, and he would pull those out, and you know, and when he ran out of those 100, he'd suddenly feel a call to another church. you know, I found out something. You get filled with the Lord, you can't do the same thing every day. There's all kinds of new things happening and things going on, and that's a good thing. But anyway, we'll get maybe to another one here before this morning's over. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Now, you should be putting these, lining these up in your closet and picking them out whenever you need them. Are you listening to me? Okay, so write them down. Galatians 3, 26. Galatians 3, 26. Now, people read this and it just doesn't compute. And so what you need to do is say, Lord, show me what these things mean for me. Have you got it?
Yep.
Okay, now we're in Galatians 3, 26. Here's what it said. For you are all, my Bible says, the sons of God. Your Bible might say children of God. But my Bible says, for you are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now that makes you something totally different than you were. You're now a son of God. You were the son of the devil, now you're the son of God. Maybe you didn't act like you think the devil would act, but you were his regardless. It says, for you're all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now there it is. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, skip down there to 29. If you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When that little girl was officially adopted by the king and the queen, she became an heir. She became an heir of everything they had. Can you imagine that a God would shed his life for you and I and then rise from the dead and look you in the eye and say, you're an heir of everything I have? You're an heir of everything God has. You see, that's what this says. Now we got to start taking these things in there. Do you understand? When you start taking these things in into your life by faith, out of the closet of your spirit, into your life, it's going to change the way you think about things, the way you speak about things, and the way you do things. Because I'm going to start walking now as an heir of God. You see, I walked in total self-centeredness before I got saved. Really did. And now I'm going to walk as a son of God, heir of the Lord. Now it'll make a difference the way you do everything in life. You see, it should make a difference. It says that you're heirs according to the promise. And so that's important. Now let's go on. Look in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. But when the fullness of time was come, Jesus sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. Now, the issue there is quite interesting. In the Roman Empire, the Roman men would many times have many women. They'd have a woman they'd have a wife that took care of the kitchen. They'd have a wife that took care of the house. They'd have a wife that took care of other things. And all these wives usually had children. So you could have one guy that could have maybe 15, 20 children running around. And I'm going to tell you what he would do. Over a period of time, he would pick out some of those children and he would adopt them as his own. And when he would adopt them as his own, they became heirs. All these other children did not. Only the ones he adopted to be his, he trained them to be his sons and heirs of everything he had. That's the way they did it in the Roman world. That's what it's talking about here. God has chosen you to be adopted into his family and to make you an heir of God forever. Do I hear an amen? Amen. You see, this is, you're beginning to see who you are if you are a Christian today. If you've received Christ as your Savior, you're beginning to see who you are. You may still be living like a pauper. You may still be living like, well, I'm just not worth too much. Or you might be living like what your father said you'd be, which a lot of times was not good. Well, God came along, and you're one of his, and he pulled you out, and he said, I'm going to adopt you into my family. You're going to be one of my sons. I'm going to give you my name, because every one of those other kids didn't have his name. The ones he adopted had his name. They were the only ones that were heirs. The rest of them were not. Didn't mean he didn't take care of them. It just meant they were not, in this case, sons of the Father. So Jesus comes along and he said, if you know me, if you belong to me, you are sons of the Father. That's you. That's you. That's you. Sons of the Father. So therefore, you're an heir of all things in Christ. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Then begins the process. He would choose them when they were fairly young, and then he would train them to be heirs. We're being trained to be heirs. And that's what's going on. We're being trained to be heirs and bring other heirs into the family. That's what's happening. And so you have to get in the Word of God, which is the manual for life. Find out. The Word of God will tell you what's in the closet. Then it'll tell you how to get it out of the closet. And then it will tell you how to bless people in the world with what God has given you. You see, it's just that simple. But you have to get into the Word of God. You have to be in there. If you say you're a Christian and don't read your Bible, what's the evidence? You see. Man, it got quiet. You want me to tell you anything you want to hear? You want to hear it the way it is. If you're not in the Word of God, I didn't say you had to read the whole Bible every day. But I'll tell you this. One thing you ought to do, and I'd make sure I would do it, would be I'd at least read a chapter of the Bible out loud every day. And you should read more than that, but that's the minimum, I would say. And that takes you 5 or 10 minutes. Somebody said, I don't have time, give me a break. See? If you can't read, then have somebody read it to you. Or get a tape of the Bible or something of that nature. Take it in, take it in, take it in. If you take it in, then it becomes part of you and you can give it out. You see? Now, there's an interesting scripture that when I first got saved, there was an evangelist came to this church where I was at. And he taught a message. I don't even remember what he said, but I remember the name of the message. This was about 36 years ago. And I want you to turn to Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. And I want to show you what the Bible says. This is so important for Christians. Psalm 34, and we'll start, I'm going to start with verse 1, and I'll probably quit with this because I don't want to be here too long. Psalm 34 and verse 8. At the time that I heard it, I didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to me, but it makes a lot of sense today. Starting in verse 1. You know, another thing you can do, which is a very good thing to do, you say, well, I just don't know how to praise the Lord. Get in the Psalms. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. There's something hanging in the closet. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him or reverence him and delivers them. And here it is, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And that was the title of this message was Taste and See That the Lord is Good. You say, how in the world could you put a message on that? Well, you start talking about the things of God and it's like consume them into your life. Take them into your life. Taste of the Lord and see he is good. There's a lot of people receive Christ but never tasted of him. Are you listening to me? You taste of the things of God by getting in the Word of God and finding out who he is and by faith receiving that into yourself, because he said, the more you are going to be around me, the more like me you're going to be. And so you have to taste of the Lord. And I'll tell you right now, after all these years, I can tell you the Lord is good. Hallelujah. You see, you get a taste of the Lord and your life will never be the same. And every once in a while I've heard people say, that doesn't sound like my life. I don't know, something must be wrong someplace. Well, maybe something is wrong. Maybe you just know about Christ and don't know him. I don't want anybody ever that I ever preach to not know whether they're lost or saved. I mean, we ought to get that issue clear. Because I don't want to be responsible for somebody hearing the Word of God and not realize there's a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, whether you go to church or not. You see. And so taste and see that I am good. You taste of the cross and the blood that was shed and the stripes that were on his back, and you taste of that. I always say the first thing that happens after you get saved, Christ takes you to the cross. Are you listening to me? Because the helmet of salvation is identifying in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You identify with his death. How would we ever think that if Jesus died, we shouldn't die so we can become new like he did? Are you listening to? We're tasting of the Lord and seeing that he is good. He was buried. He buried, everything was buried of all of our sins. He took it all on. Past, present, future. Somebody said, well, how can he take care of your future sins? All your sins were future when Jesus Christ died for them, you see. So he died for them all. And we need to take a part in that. And we need to die to these things in our life. And we need to taste Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension, hallelujah, because we're going to ascend when Jesus comes for his church. Do I hear an amen? Okay. Now, this is what I'm talking about, identifying with Jesus Christ. Taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Get that stuff out of the closet into your life. Can you imagine standing before Jesus Christ when you pass from this earth, and you'd have to tell the Lord, Lord, I know you're good and I know you did good thing and thank you for saving me, but it's all in the closet. I never took it out. I never wore it. I wore that same old stuff that I wore before I was saved. I did the same things. I wore the same stuff. My life never really changed. The only thing that's different, I started going to church. I want to tell you something. My dad was 65 years old when he got saved. And I know he's in heaven today for one very simple reason. His life changed. He never went hunting and fishing on Sunday morning again. He read through his Bible several times before he died. He became interested. When you sit down at the table and talking about Jesus, he never got up and left anymore. He wanted to be there. It wasn't any of this, oh, we have to get up this early to go to church. He'd get up at 5 o'clock to go fishing and hunting, you understand. Yes. And so I'm telling you, you can't have Christ in your life and not know it. Who are you? Who are you? Let's stand before the Lord.